I was about to ask where Jerry went, but she's right there. Hey, I think I feel a bit somber this morning. I don't know if everyone's awake. Is everyone here? It's going to be one of those sermons, I think, where I'm going to talk to you, and if you don't talk back to me, I'm going to feel really insecure. Please, please wake up. Thank you, Reese, my best friend. Hey, welcome. This is my time to say welcome. Kate and I have been away for 2 weeks. You may not have noticed that. But we went to conference with the other Poweries and the Crandos. They were there as well. I'm so close with them, I'm allowed to call them names. Nice names. We went up to the INC conference in the Sunshine Coast. It was great. And I don't mean to boast, but we got back and I don't have to buy a new car yet. Hey. I do know why we keep driving, but you know, we're going to keep persisting and so far so good. It also means this is the first time I've been in church for this series of the miracles of God. That's what it's called, isn't it? Miracles of God. Also, just another side point, did you know that if you're not here in church, you can still watch the sermons? I mean, there's a lot of empty chairs, so I'm sure Bob and Rita are watching it. I'm sure that all the people want to know what we're preaching about because it's so exciting, just as Reese and Meg said, don't miss out. Kate and I had some, when the kids fall asleep in the car and we can stop playing the kids' songs, oh, praise God for that. And then we can listen to the sermons and we can be a part of you, and that's what we did. So I want to know, because I wasn't here, who was here last week for Pastor Daniel? And I said, I want participation, so put your hand up. Not those two. It's a couple. I can see. I'm just taking a mental note. Okay, last week, there was a lot of laughter because there was a story about a snake, which I don't know why you would admit damaging wildlife on a live stream. But Daniel told us a story about being in some kind of gator or some recreational farming vehicle, and that he hadn't put on enough weight to squish the snake. And the similar level of laughter happened. But what came next was malicious slander of my name. And I didn't hear any of you stand up for me. And so I took note of who had their hands up. All right, Kate's going to be sending out infringement notices. If people are making fun of me being the, what did you call me? A mischievous child playing with a pool table. Don't think I didn't notice. I was here. Also, side note, my best friend Reese wasn't here. Otherwise, he would have stood up for sure. So I got you. 100%. Reese and Daniel have laid a foundation of the miracles of God. And I want to try and continue that today. I'll do my best. Reese talked about if we call on his name that we would be comforted by Jesus and that we'll either walk out on the waves through the trials or that the storm will be calmed. Daniel spoke about how God is in control and that God, and this is my paraphrase, the good Father, I love that song, is looking after us and he knows what he's doing. He used an example of scorpions. He used multiple examples of God being the good Father looking out for us. And today, I want to talk further along the path of miracles still happen today. And what a setup. And so when Reese was talking about Arun's dad, what a setup. I was like, just take it, whatever. It's my sermon. It's okay. A miracle still happen today. Okay, I heard two amens. Miracles still happen today. I'm telling you, it's quiet in this room, but this is quite exciting. Yeah. It is actually very exciting. Don't sit there on your chair and just wait 30 minutes for this service to be over and then go do the rest of your Sunday. This is an exciting topic, right? This is something that other people don't have in their lives. We're talking about miracles. There's other people that we interact with have never experienced a miracle. And here at Infinity Church, we just said, hey, one happened last week. Right? It's exciting. We live in a world that limits our belief on what we can see, on what we can measure, on what we experience. Everything that we do just generally, most things that we do are for our own purpose, right? Every activity I put on Strava is measured. I want to know the data. I want to know what my cadence was. I want to know how far my steps are. I want to know what my heart rate got to for my glory, right? And I might put it on there and chuck a little photo of me and my best friend Reese. Why? Because I want someone to give me a like. I'll put my hand up. That's what I do. Some of us pursue science in other forms like coffees, right? We know there's a person in this room that will do that. And he will make poor Laz measure every shot of coffee that he makes. He'll have to weigh it out. He wants to know how many grams of coffee there is. He wants to know how long the extraction took. He wants to know what the pressure of the extraction was. He wants to know how good your coffee is because he wants to measure it. He wants to know what's going on and he wants to be in control. That's not true. He does want to be in control, but it's not a bad thing. Of the coffee, be in control of the coffee. We like and we find comfort in the quantifiable and the measurable. And we get caught up in these things. They become our skill sets, our quiver, our ammunition for all that we do. We get measured by my personality, what I like to do, what car I drive, what things I'm into, so that we would be praised for our knowledge and our own wisdom. Oh God, help us, hey? Because my wisdom's pretty short. It's a very small barrel. It's a small bathtub. And we're going to talk about something that is beyond that today. And again, praise God that there is more than that because there's not enough in my life. The Bible presents a different purpose for our life than what I just explained and what we do. The Bible presents a God who loves us, who performs wonders, amazing miracles, not for entertainment, not for our own glory, not for a good story that could get written down, but for his purpose, for his people, for those he loves, but most importantly, for his glory. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So maybe this message isn't miracles still happen today, but do you believe that miracles still happen today? My man, Laz. So we're going to look at two miracles that are documented in the Bible. I'm going to use the first one is from Luke. You can put it up, Emily. And it is Jesus. It is done by Jesus. But I've also picked one done by his disciples, post Jesus ascending to heaven. And I think it's important because there's an example here that Jesus and his followers both are able to perform miracles. From these two stories, one is in Acts and one is in Luke, I've picked 5 points. I'm getting a bit adventurous. Normally I only pick 3. I've picked 5 kind of points and ideas that example how these miracles happen. I apologize in advance. These two stories are relatively scripty, wordy. It's Luke 5:18-26, if you're following along. This is the story of the man that gets healed by when his friends lower him down through the roof. So you may know it. It starts off in 18. We're going to talk about that. So some men took a man who was not able to move his body to Jesus. He was carried on a bed. They looked for a way to take the man into the house where Jesus was, but they could not find a way to take him in because there were so many people. So they made a hole in the roof over where Jesus stood, and they let the bed with the sick man on it down before Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the men, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." Wow. Verse 21, the teachers of the law and the proud religious law keepers thought to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks as if he is God, who can forgive sin? Who can forgive sins? God only." And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to them, "Why do you think this way with your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? So that you may know the Son of Man has the right and the power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who could not move his body, "I say to you, get up, take your bed, go to your home." And at once the sick man got up in front of them, took his bed, and went home thanking God. And all those who were there were surprised and gave thanks to God, saying, "We have seen something very special today." Wow. Jesus heals this man. With his words, he just performs a miracle in front of all these people. The next one is in Acts chapter 3. And this is Simon and Peter. I think it's Simon. No, Peter and John. Peter and John walking into the temple. And there's a blind man there. So I'll read that. Acts 3, 2 to 16. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg in the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us!" Exclamation mark. I can kind of feel him yelling, like, "Look at us!" So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. And Peter said, "Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by his hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk, and he went with them to the temple courts, jumping and walking and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the man who sat begging at the temple gate. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. While the men held on to Peter and John, as you would, people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's, I don't know what that is, colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, who you handed over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Very importantly, verse 16, "By the faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and known was made strong." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that completely healed him. Wow. So the points I've picked from these two stories, right? Both of these stories, amazing stories of people being healed. Both of them attributed to Jesus Christ. There's the 5 points. I'll read you the 5 points first. If you're writing them down, here they are. I'm going to repeat it a couple of times because I think it's important. That God sees the need before any words are said. Number two is that miracles require faith. Three, miracles are signs that point to Jesus. Four, the greatest miracle is not the healing, but the salvation. And five is that these miracles can happen through Christ's people. So number one, we see that God sees that need before we even speak to him. In Luke, the paralyzed man lowered through the roof, God sees them and says to them, "He will be healed." In Acts 3, the beggar born lame at the gate, hoping for coins, receives healing. Both accounts, the healing happens right at the beginning. Luke says, "Look at us. Look at us. Stand up and be healed." Matthew 6, 8 says, "The Father knows what you need before you even ask him." And we see that in these two stories, right? God knows the situation that both of these people who need healing are in. And before even bringing them to Christ to ask, he provides. We should have confidence that when we come to God to ask for healing, for a miracle, for ourselves, for our loved ones, that God sees that need before you even bring it to him. And that God knows your suffering. He knows the pain. He knows what you're going through. He knows your situation. And God can, does, and will heal you. Number two, miracles require faith. And I've got in brackets, not perfection. In Luke 5, when it says Jesus saw their faith and he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." Or in Acts, Peter says, "By the faith in the name of Jesus, this man is made strong." It is not the formula that heals them. It is not the right prayer. It is not the right words. It is not how these people conducted their lives. It was faith in Jesus that healed them. In the book of James, it says, a prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. In Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's faith, not perfection. And I've heard it said to me before, and I don't mean that in a saying. Literally, people have said to me before that I'm not in the right space right now. Or I haven't been reading my Bible enough. I haven't been praying enough. You don't know the sin in my life. Can the pastor pray for that person because that person's sick? Can someone greater than me do something because I'm not good enough? You know, if God had to wait for us to do it the right way, to do the right formula, or to be the right person, or to have the right, even the right attitude, we'd never see these miracles. But thankfully, God's not limited by our weaknesses. It's not surprising to us that Jesus does and can do miracles. When we see these two stories, there's the story of Jesus. So when Jesus does that miracle, it's almost like, yeah, Son of God, of course Jesus can heal. Yep, no worries. But when we look at in Acts, when the disciples or the apostles are healing people in the name of Jesus, we can't assume that they were perfect, because even Paul talks about the thorn in his side, in his flesh. These apostles were using the power of God, were filled with the Holy Spirit, healing people in the name of Jesus, just as we can today. These miracles didn't require perfection, they required faith. Not that we have the answers, but just as the apostles did, we trust the one who does. Point three, miracles are signs that point to Jesus. So after the healing in Luke, it says that everybody was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." And again in Acts, when the miracle of the blind man was done, it says, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness we made this man walk?" Both Peter and Jesus, Peter and Jesus, are pointing to God, not to themselves. There's a similar healing in Matthew, Jesus said, "The crowd praised God and said, 'Who has given such authority to man?'" And this is why God doesn't need perfection, right? Because it's not for us. That miracle isn't for gain. That's what I'm looking for. It's not for our ability. It's not so that we would have fame. It's not so that I could say I am the great healer. No. It's so that we might be known. That we might be known by God. God performs miracles so that people would encounter Jesus. The miracle performed is not the destination. It's not the goal. A miracle performed is an invitation to know who Jesus is. So we don't seek miracles for a spectacle. We don't seek them for any reason other than our heart is that the person receiving that miracle, that those around them would encounter Jesus. That the miracles would point to a God who's greater than the formulas of this world that we live in, or the things that we get addicted to, the things we do for our own intellect. No, it's none of that. It's that people would meet Jesus. They point to Jesus. Meeting Jesus is the fourth point, that the miracle leads to salvation. Importantly, in Luke, Jesus not only heals the man who can't walk, the lame man, but he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." When Peter heals and he has his little sermon at the end of Acts, he says, "Repent that your sins may be wiped out, at times of refreshing may come from the Lord." The healing miracle is powerful, but the main miracle, the miracle that we have all experienced, is salvation. It's really important. Romans 5 says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I find so much comfort in that verse, right? 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. We've preached about these things before. You've heard this before. This is not new. But there's something humbling for me to know that the greatest miracle that I will ever receive is that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. The greatest expression of God's love is unmerited, it's unconditional, it's sacrificial. It tells us that Jesus doesn't wait for us to be perfect, to clean ourselves up, to earn his love, to do the right things, to follow the laws of the Old Testament, to do the right, any of it. But while we were lost, while I was lost, while I was a sinner, while I was broken, rebellious and undeserving, Christ died for me. And he chose me in that point, in my worst. It's hard to imagine that magnitude of love, right? And I labor on this point because all through the Bible, this is the metaphor of love that's given to us. The spotless lamb. When Christ is on that cross and he takes his sin, our shame and our guilt. His death on that cross isn't a response to goodness, but a demonstration of mercy. So the greatest miracle anyone can receive is salvation. Point five, last point. Miracles still happen today through us. Jesus tells his disciples in the beginning of Acts, when before he ascends, he says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I talked about this like a month or so ago. In John, it says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. Jesus quite clearly is telling us there is great things to come. He is clearly saying that those who believe in me, that those who receive the Holy Spirit will perform miracles like I did. In Romans 15, Paul writes, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God, I have proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Spiritual gifts still exist. Spiritual gifts of healing and miraculous powers still happen today through the Spirit of God. And God's still working through us as believers. It can be tempting to be sort of disheartened. It can be tempting to feel like, yeah, but not for me. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what we have the Holy Spirit for, just to sit in our seats and to be passive. No. God wants us to go out to heal people, to take Christ to the communities, to take Jesus to people who need him. Filled with the Holy Spirit, obedient to his leading. That's the kind of person I want to be. Not just the guy that sits in my pew, is a good dad, does all these fun things and tries to build my life up so that I look good. No, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can think that the story of the Bible, the story of the Bible, that the story of the apostles finishes in Acts, right? But the church doesn't end. We're here today because of that early church. It is continuing to happen, and we're seeing people even now turn to God. We've seen a miracle in this church. We talked about it this morning. People are getting healed. People are coming to know God. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Not because we are good enough. Not because we have some special power. Not because of anything other than God would be glorified always. That's hard. That's hard, right? That's slightly countercultural for us. The 5 points, I just want to bring them up again because I think they're important. God sees the need before we say a word. God knows your suffering. Miracles require faith, not perfection. You are exactly as you're meant to be. God wants you now. Yes, we were worked to be holy, but we can receive miracles now, even in your worst. Miracles are signs that point to Jesus. We are meant to know there is something greater in this world through miracles. And the greatest miracle is that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me, that I now can call on God the Father. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we replicate. We do this again. We go out. We can now lead others to Christ. We can now pray for healing in people around us. We can now make a difference in the name of Jesus. I want to be a person who believes that. And I do believe it. But I want to be a person who's prompted to pray. I want to be a person who sees a need and goes, God, your will be done in that place. God, heal that person. I want to see a need and just know that I know that I know that God is in control. I want to live in faith. I want to give glory to God in every action that I do. I take captive of every thought and I submit it to Christ. Don't we all want that? Like all of us, this is not just something that we sit here and think about. It is actually something we do, we want to do. Miracles aren't history, they're testimonies. Because Jesus saves, Jesus heals, he restores people. He restores marriages, he provides, he heals mental illness, he heals physical illness. He heals everything. This is the God we serve. A God that can change the rules of nature. So what now? Don't let this be a 30-minute kind of message that I give that you forget about and you go back into your week. What can we do? Do you have a miracle that you need? Are you sick? Do you know someone who's in need? Why don't you ask God in faith today? Believe that God wants good things for you, that he is a loving father. Why don't you bring your need to God today? Maybe, like I said, you have a friend that needs to be lowered through that roof, metaphorically. Don't do it physically properly. Like, why don't you pray for someone else? If you don't have a need, I guarantee you there's someone sitting next to you that does, or near you. That friend needs Jesus, right? And your prayers can make all the difference on their lives. Or maybe, like Arun's father, you have received a miracle. Hey, don't sit on that. Don't sit on your miracle. Don't sit on your provision that God gave you. Don't just put that in your pocket and say, thank you, God, this is for me. No. Why don't you share what God has done in your life? Let your story be someone's starting point. And finally, and this is maybe the hardest, but expect God to move. Not because we deserve it, no, but because Jesus is alive, his power is real, and he deserves all the glory. We're going to sing a song, and I ask that in that time, you critically analyze your life. Where's your heart at? Where's the need in your community or your friends and the people that you interact with? What have you already got that you can share that might point someone to God? We'll sing a song and I'll come back and pray for us, but take this chance to really think, what has God provided for me? Yes. Thank you, Lord. I just pray, God, we thank you, Father. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we believe you are still working miracles, that you are healing, saving, delivering, transforming lives, Lord. We pray, God, that you would help us with our unbelief, Lord, that you would open our eyes to your work in the big things and the small things. God, make us bold. Don't let us just sit in our seats and do the same thing that we did yesterday, Lord. Help us to bring your love and your power to a hurting world. Use us, Lord, to glorify Christ. And when you move, Lord, may all your glory be made known. God, when you heal, Lord, may people know without a doubt that you are the author of this universe, that you are in control, Lord. Amen.